the Public News Service Daily Newscast, August 29, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. Election officials nationwide are urging the Congress to provide the funding needed to ensure a safe and a secure 2024 election.
They've asked for at least $400 million to help counties prepare for technology and security updates and help recruit and train election officials. Maine Secretary of State Shayna Bellows says states are working to stay ahead of hackers working to disrupt democracy.
We're really focused on addressing cyber threats, addressing threats against our poll workers and election officials, and preparing to counter disinformation.
Bellow says Maine has what she calls the gold standard of election security, paper ballots. But she says officials need greater support to counter an unprecedented amount of conspiracy theories and increased responsibilities for poll workers. Election officials are asking the federal government for a zero-tolerance policy when it comes to threats against election workers, including the publishing of their personal information online. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
Now to the Sunshine State, where Tampa International Airport will suspend all commercial operations beginning at 12:01 a.m. Tuesday ahead of Tropical Storm Idalia, with the airport remaining closed until it can assess any damages later in the week. They report the airport, including the main terminal and airsides, will be closed to all visitors and is not equipped to function as an emergency shelter. And for now, the federal EPA will hold off on imposing new regulations dealing with factory farms that amid concerns about their link to water pollution.
The agency was responding to a six-year-old petition filed by dozens of groups wanting tougher enforcement of concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs, under the Clean Water Act. The EPA will instead form a committee to explore the matter, a process that could take almost 2 years. Matthew Sheets with the Land Stewardship Project says it's disappointing to see the status quo being maintained, pointing to pollution examples in Minnesota.
In southeast Minnesota, called the Driftless Region. And in that area, there has been notices for nitrate pollution in the water.
According to a 2020 summary from the Environmental Working Group, Minnesota has seen a threefold increase in the number of CAFOs in the past three decades. Livestock groups praise the decision, arguing current regulations are effective and that producers are adopting climate-smart practices. I'm Mike Moen.
The EPA says it shares environmental concerns over the large livestock operations and agrees many may be in violation of the Clean Water Act. At the same time, they say studying the issue will lead to an informed decision regarding any reforms. This is Public News Service. Now to Idaho, where federal officials are there to discuss where to store nuclear waste. Our Eric Tegetoff reports the U.S. Nuclear Waste Technical Review Board, an independent federal agency, is holding two meetings in Idaho Falls.
The first is today and will be a workshop on the siting of radioactive waste facilities. Wednesday's board meeting will focus on the Energy Department's consent-based siting process for waste. Don Hancock is the Nuclear Waste Program Director for the Southwest Research and Information Center. He says the consent-based process fell by the wayside during the Trump administration, but has become a focus again under President Biden.
They're starting off saying, we think we want to come up with a consent-based process to see if we can store spent fuel for some considerable period of time, but people would be consenting to temporary storage as opposed to permanent disposal.
Hancock says the Obama administration decided the siting process should prioritize temporary sites rather than long-term geological storage.
Hundreds of New York commercial office cleaners are going to Philadelphia. They're there to rally for upcoming contract negotiations.
Negotiations for New York City begin in November, since the contract expires on December 31st of this year. It would cover 20,000 commercial office cleaners of more than 1,300 buildings in the city. Luciana Owens has been a cleaner at the Port Authority bus terminal for 22 years. She says working during the COVID-19 pandemic was a scary time for these workers.
It was really stressful just having to be there, like worried about coming to work and going home every day to my family, you know, and just catching COVID. Like, I didn't catch it, but that was always my scare. But I was like, I had to go to work. It was like mandated that I went to work. I mean, I learned a lot of practices like protocols during the pandemic.
In terms of the negotiations, Owens is looking to ensure her employers maintain a safety-first attitude toward the workers. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Finally, R. Ross Brown lets us know organizations that help immigrants find a community, achieve economic self-sufficiency, and become legal residents or citizens say anti-immigration rhetoric has created a funding challenge.
Financial donations are down in Texas, which has bused more than 20,000 migrants to unprepared cities, and where lawmakers have considered legislation to create a state border police task force empowered to repel and arrest migrants. Tanya Chavez Camacho with the advocacy group Lupe says a lack of funding impacts direct services they can provide.
We need the funding to be flexible because oftentimes we might need to house families, we might need to feed families, we might need to fly families.
Nationwide, the funding average for pro-immigrant and pro-refugee groups is $7.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.